Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews. We're actually going to be going through a lot of different elements of the scripture this morning. At the very foundation of our lives as Christians is our faith. I realize that's no revelation to you, but it's who we are. It's our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God to save us of our sins. It's our faith in the regenerative, life-changing power of the shed blood of Jesus. We have faith. Faith in his presence with me in every situation. And again, I know a number of you have been walking through some very, very difficult times right now and are continuing to deal with some very difficult issues. So we have faith that his presence is with us. Faith in his word, that it's true and perfect. Faith that he hears my prayers and cares about my life. But here's the thing. As Christians, when you become a Christian, you are not suddenly given this mature, fully grown, developed faith. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, it's just like our bodies, because our faith, it needs to grow. It needs to be exercised. It needs to be fed in order for it to develop and to become what it is that God desires in each of us. And you see, faith is really unique because it takes on a lot of different appearances. For some people, faith is very bold. They talk about it a lot. You can just tell when something's going on. I mean, they get militant about things. Faith is militant in her faith. I love it. But not everybody's that way. Some people are very quiet about their faith. It's just as firm. It's just as secure, but they don't talk about it as much. Of course, the Bible obviously talks a great deal about faith. It's our how-to of faith, if you will. First scripture for you to write down, Matthew 9:29. The different elements of faith. And Jesus says, he says, according to your faith, he's talking to a blind man that's about to be healed. He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. What was Jesus saying? He said, because of the measure of your faith, this is what it is that's going to happen. You know what else I think that is for us today? The expectation of what this man had. Faith is about expectation. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, that expectations are pretty dangerous. They're very dangerous outside of this element. Why? Because what I expect of someone does not guarantee that's what's going to happen. It's what I think. And if you're a person that lives on expectation, I can almost guarantee you, you probably spend quite a bit of time disappointed. Don't you? That's why I try not to do that. In the course of the day, Katarina and I, we try to be very open with each other. We communicate, we share our feelings, but I don't have expectations of her. Why? It's because she needs to do the things that she needs to do. She needs to be her person, not who I think she should be. Does that make sense? Even within this church, I don't have a lot of expectations. Now, I want to be careful how I say this, because it makes it sound like that I'm talking ugly about you. I'm not. I don't expect anybody to be here any given Sunday. I don't expect that. Now, there are a few that I'd like my wife to come. You know, it'd be nice if she showed up at church that I'm pastoring. That would be nice. I'd like for Dave to be here since I'm kind of counting on him. But I don't expect people. So you say, well, Pastor Dave, what happens? You got this morning, I think we have 70 people here. That was what our count is. And you know what? What happened if 30 came? Does that mean that you're not happy with church? No. I don't care about those kinds of things because I don't expect anybody to come. Does that make sense? But what I do expect is for my faith to be such that it grows, that it increases through the things of life because I know who God is. He's the one that I can be truly expectant of, that he will be truthful to his word. That everything that he promises in the word is true. God doesn't vacillate. The Bible tells us he's the same, say it, yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. That's who God is. That's who I expect. But with people, that's a little bit different. So Jesus is looking at this blind man and he says, now, because of what you expected, this healing's going to come to you. And so my question for you today as that relates to faith is, what is your faith level? That's a question to ask of yourself. What's your faith level? You say, Pastor Dave, I don't know. What's a faith level supposed to look like? Well, what it looks like is a person who trusts God completely in everything. You say, well, Pastor Dave, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Really? Do you think? How do you talk? How do you act when things are not going exactly the way you want them to? Can I tell you that one of, I think, the surest measures of a person growing as a Christian is how they respond to the circumstances in their life? Because that's what it is that tells you what their faith level is. You say, Pastor Dave, you mean you never are concerned, you're never worried, you're never anxious about anything? No. I don't think I am. I don't tell you this because I'm Mr. Super Christian or anything. That would be Pastor Super Christian. I'm not suggesting that by any means. But what I am saying is that that's my heart's desire. I don't want to worry about things. Why? Because the Scripture tells us not to. He says, you get all worked up about things. He said, you worry about what it is you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what's going to take place. He says, listen, the lilies of the field, they spin, he says. And nobody worries about them. They happen the way they're supposed to. The little bird that needs what it needs, God's got that taken care of. Why are you worrying about it? Why? Because we're his best. We're his best creation. You look at creation in the Scripture and it says, the Bible says, he said, this is good, this is good, this is good. But when he got done creating man, what did he say? Very good. Very good. We are God's heart. That's what he desires of us, is for our faith to increase and to grow in him. Hebrews 11:6, and this is actually the key scripture for this morning. It says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Again, there's faith again. It's impossible to be, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, that word faith in the New Testament, in the original Greek language, is the word pistis. And that word does not mean just to have faith in general. It means to have faith in something. So as I'm standing up here with you and I lean on this pulpit, I have faith, pistis, that this thing's going to hold me up. I have faith in this pulpit. Because faith without a direction is nothing more than just probably a grandized emotion. You say, yeah, I've got faith in that. Do you really? Do your actions line up with that? Do you see what it is that God is doing in your life in a way that you respond to it that lines up with your faith? This is just the introduction. I haven't even gotten into it yet. You with me? You okay? I know I'm going at it hard right out of the gate this morning. Every once in a while, I get a little fired up. That's all right. I don't have any room to run. That's the whole thing here. We get our own place. I want space to run back across the stage. Mike's going, yeah, I want to see that. All right, I'll limp across the stage. One of the things, if you read in the Scripture about faith, that the Bible often uses as a metaphor for faith is the relationship between a child and a parent. You see that a great deal. Because what is it, parents, that just thrills your heart to no end? Is when your children do something that's pleasing to you. They listen, they obey, they do what it is they're supposed to do. They accomplish something. There's few things in life that for a parent are as gratifying. I see some of you nodding your heads like, yeah, and some of you are going, does that actually happen? Yes. No, it does. But the Bible uses that relationship as a metaphor for the faith, because to please God, as we just read in Hebrews, is what our faith is for. It's to please him. And you know what pleases God more than anything? Childlike faith. Childlike faith. Jesus in Matthew 18:3 said this. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, he says, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is he talking about? Well, Nicodemus didn't understand this because he thought he actually had to go back and be actually physically born again. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is a childlike faith. Go get in a swimming pool. When your kids are little, how many of you remember this? Get in a swimming pool and you go, come on, and what do? They just jump right onto you. Complete faith in you. That's childlike faith. See, that's what I think the church is missing today in so many ways. We have become so sophisticated in our walk with the Lord. So proper. I have to memorize all of these verses. I have to have all of these things set in place. Is it important to memorize Scripture? Of course it is. But when someone prays, I'm not interested in King James English. What I just want to hear is a heart that's crying out to God, childlike. Childlike faith. If the Bible says it's true, that's good enough for me. Childlike faith. Luke 17, 5 is an interesting verse because it's one the disciples may have wanted to take back from what they said originally. The disciples, it tells us in Luke, came to Jesus and they said to him, increase our faith. Now, I think that was very heartfelt, what they were asking for, but as I said to you earlier, that's a dangerous prayer to pray. It's like asking for patience. Increase my faith, God. To have your faith increase means that God is going to give you opportunities for your faith to grow. How many of you think that means that it's blessings and niceness and love and kindness and wonderful things all the time? I'm sorry, it's not. Because the challenges of our faith is what helps us to grow. As a matter of fact, in James 1, 2 to 4, it says this, watch now. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many of you can honestly say, oh yeah, I love it when trials come into my life. That's awesome. I don't feel that way all the time. Now, I try to get to that point when I begin to realize some things. But he says, you need to consider that joy when God brings those things into your life. Why? He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces, does anybody know the next word? Perseverance. Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Did you catch that? What is it that dictates what a mature Christian is? Is it the number of verses he can say? Is it how many times he's come to church? Is it the way that he speaks? Those are all outpourings, but what is it that dictates a mature Christian? It's your faith. It's your faith. There is nobody that's a poster child more, I think, for faith than Job. If you look up what is faith, it'll say, see Job. Okay, I have to go look at his picture. We know the story of what happened to Job. He didn't deserve what happened, at least in our thinking. You know, did he really deserve that? No, but that's not what God's concerned about. It's interesting, if you read, it says the angels came before God. And this is a strange verse because you know what else says came with them? Satan came with them. God was bragging on Job. I'd like to be somebody God brags on. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. I'd love to be somebody that God brags on. I don't know if we ever get to that place or not, but that sure is something I'd like to have. Well, God's bragging on Job. And Satan comes up and goes, well, sure. Sure, he's got things going good. Sure, he's faithful to you. Look how good he's got it. Look how blessed he is. He said, you let me take some of that stuff away. You got a different guy. God said, take your best shot. He said, just don't hurt anybody. So Satan, you know what happened? Crops, all those kinds of things get taken. Then his family begins to be killed and die. And then finally, God takes the gloves off of Satan altogether. He says, you can do whatever you want to do, but just don't kill him. And the Bible tells us that at that point, Job's wife is going, you know, you ought to just ask to be dead, what you're going through right now. But listen to what Job says. This is the 7th chapter, verses 17 and 18. Because you talk about considering it pure joy. He says this, what is mankind that you make so much of them? That you give them so much attention. He's talking to God. That you give us so much attention. That you examine. That's another word for test. Them in every morning and test them every moment. He said, who are we, God, that you would do this for us? That you would test us to see our faith? Well, there are many ways, I believe, that God tests and develops and proves and builds our faith. And this morning I want to look very briefly at four of them. Because that's how our faith grows, is when God tests it. Now again, I would love to tell you that, listen, it's going to be easy. You won't have any problem with this at all. That wouldn't be true. I know I'm not telling most of you anything you don't already know. But I want you to be aware of this, because I'm telling you, the only way that you can have joy in these times is when you recognize in your spirit that everything that's taking place is according to God's plan. Sometimes, folks, that's hard to reconcile. I understand that. But God sees so much more than we do. I've walked with a couple of our families recently through some deaths. And it's so hard when you say goodbye to people that mean so much to you. And yet God's plan is being accomplished even through those times. Words that are being spoken, things that are being done. If we can just simply say, God, this time stinks right now. I don't like this. I want it to be over. But what did I say last week was the most powerful prayer you can pray? Not your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. When you bring these things together, you begin to see a change that's taking place in your life that has a tremendous impact for the kingdom of God. It'll change the atmosphere of your home. It'll change the atmosphere of your school. It'll change the atmosphere of your workplace when you are given over to serving Him in anything that comes. So, four ways that I think God tests our faith and helps it to grow, proves it. Here's the first one. God tests our faith through difficulties. Again, no great revelation there. But the question is not whether the difficulty comes or not. The question is, how do you respond in that time? What do you do? How do you react? I said it earlier, nothing occurs in our lives, church, that does not come through the Father filter. Nothing. Everything must come through the filter of the Father. Again, that's not always easy to reconcile when we see these difficult things going on. There was a book written a number of years ago called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Ever heard of that? Why do bad things happen to good people? Because God's plan is sovereign over everything. And, oh, by the way, the prince of this world has influence during this time. The Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion looking for who he may devour. Now, don't ever quote that verse without catching the most important word in there, may. He doesn't get to do whatever he wants to. We can stand firm against that. We can be victorious in those times. You see, Job could not have gone through what he went through without God's permission first. Can I tell you this morning, you are not going anything through your life that has not come through God's permission first. Why do I tell you that? Because I want you to know that God is aware. He's with you during these times. God has never once been caught off guard. Never once has God gone, oh, never saw that coming. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what it is that you need. What He's looking for is men and women who are willing to have their faith stretched, to have their faith pulled and help it to grow in Him. One of the neat examples of this, you read it in Isaiah 48:10. It's a perfect example. It says, see, I have refined you, though not as silver. It says, I have tested you, where? In the furnace of affliction. What's a furnace of affliction look like? Anything you're dealing with that's hard. Anything that's a struggle for you, that's a furnace of affliction in your life. Can I tell you too this morning, don't be so anxious and so quick to give Satan credit for everything that goes on. Don't be so quick to turn that over to him. Satan's not in control of your life. God is. Especially when you are saying, God, your will be done. That's why we want that posture. Stop giving Satan credit for everything. Many times the things that we have to walk in are the Father filter allowing times to come that are going to help our faith to grow. They're going to increase our walk, our dependence on him. Does that mean it's real easy to walk through? No, it doesn't. Do I need to pray? Yes, I do. Do I need to press in? Do I need to gather people around me? Are there times I'm going to be sitting at home going, wow, I'll be glad when this is over? Sure. But don't despise those times. God has a plan. He knows what it is that he's doing. And so the silversmith will put the raw gold, the raw silver, into the furnace. And the heat gets so intense that it burns away all the impurities. A silversmith was asked once, how do you know when the impurities are all gone? He said, when I can see my reflection in the silver, I know it's pure. That's what we should desire in our lives, for people to be able to see God's reflection in our lives. That's my goal. That's my desire. I want these impurities out of my body. I want them out of my heart. I want them out of my spirit. The only way that's going to happen is through that fire. Think just for a second. Last time you really had to deal with something really hard. Maybe you're walking through something right now. What was happening? How were you? How were you responding? Could people tell that you were walking through something really bad because of the way that you were acting toward them? And listen, I'm not talking about not being emotional. It brings emotion. It's difficult. But you know, so many Christians, you wouldn't be able to tell they were Christians when things are going rough because they don't act any different than anybody else. Folks, it shouldn't be that way. Paul writes in the book of Corinthians that we are changed by the presence of God in our lives. We're different. We should reflect Him. And that's my goal. That's my desire for us as a church family, is that His impurities continue to be burned away so that people will see the reflection of God in me. Now, that doesn't get finished until we're with Him. It's an ongoing process for our entire lives. But He will give us victory in those moments. Fight the fight. Stay the course. James 1:2. Again, he says, consider it pure joy when you face those trials. How is it that we can have joy? Again, because we know His purpose and His plan for us are so much greater than some temporary discomfort that we're going to have to walk through. Can I encourage you, church, make that a real part of your life? Don't just have those words that you can say. The next time something comes up that you're really having to deal with, check yourself. Better yet, ask your wife, ask your husband, check me on this. I realize I've just made that very difficult for a lot. I apologize. But find a good friend. Find somebody that you trust. Find somebody that you know wants the best for you and go, hey, walk with me through this. Help me to do the things I'm supposed to do. So the first one, God tests our faith through the difficulties. The second one is He tests our faith through commands. In the New Testament, there are 1,050 separate commands. Different commands of God. Some of them you would expect. Others are sort of different and maybe a little bit difficult. Others are just seem like they're impossible. And yet in those commands, God gives us what we need in order to be able to do the things that we need to do. He gives us that capability. And Abraham is a perfect example of this. Abraham was a man that was given some unbelievable commands that he had to deal with. You think about it. It starts off with God came and told Abraham, Abe, I need you to leave home. I need you to go. I need you to travel. Abraham said, very naturally, where am I going? You know what God said to him? I'll tell you when you get there. I'll tell you when you get there. How many of you will be willing to take that trip? And he wasn't just telling him, take a trip and then come on back. He said, leave your country. Leave everybody. Abraham did it. Abraham and Sarah are 190 years old. And God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I am going through your descendants, I'm going to create a nation. There'll be so many people, it'll be like the grains of sand on the beach, like the stars in the sky. You can't count them. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90. Going, God, come here. You know how this works, right? We're past that point. We don't have children anymore. And yet God came and He was faithful to His word. And then, of course, the ultimate sacrifice that God asked of Abraham. You read about it in Genesis 22:2. He said to him, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. And he said, and go to the region of Moriah. That's a mountain that he had to go to. And sacrifice him there as a burnt offering to me. That's an impossible command. Would it not be? Think about it, mom, dad. God comes and asks you to do something like that. But Abraham was faithful. Why? Because his faith was being increased. His faith was being tested. Third way. Now, you're going to get really uncomfortable with this, but I'm going to do it anyway. God tests our faith through our dollars, our money. God tests our faith. You see, many Christians do not realize, I think, that there is a powerful testing of God involving our bank accounts. My question is, how do you handle the things that God has given to you? How do you handle those things? Is everything about you? Do you keep everything? I don't give things away to people. I don't try to help. That's just not who I am. Well, can I tell you then, you're missing what it is that God wants to do in your life. He doesn't bless us in order to keep. He blesses us in order to be a conduit, to be able to bless other people. That should be the heart of the Christian. If you're in debt a little bit, if you're struggling with your finances, is tithing the first thing that you cut out? Most Christians would say, yeah, probably, if they're being honest. I've heard people say this a lot of times to me, Pastor Dave, I can't afford to tithe. You know what my response always is? I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford not to. It is the principle of sowing and reaping that is all throughout the Scripture, and it is the exact words that are told to us by the prophet Malachi. He said, God said, test me. Let me show you what I mean. You bring that portion to me that you're supposed to have. So many Christians today write the tithe as the last thing they write out. That's opposite thinking of what we're told to do. God told the people, bring what? The first fruits. See, I believe that we give the top of what it is that God gives us. You say, Pastor Dave, cut it out, man. I'm starting to get uncomfortable. I understand that. But again, when we talk about giving at Remnant Life, that has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with you, your obedience to God. That's why we don't collect an offering. You present it. That kind of confuses people. We've had some visitors that have come here and go, I didn't give anything to the church because the plate never came around. I said, no, we don't pass a plate. We're not here to take your money. You come to present your gifts, present your offerings to the Lord. That's between you and him. But I don't want you to miss what it is that God wants to do in your life. God's testing us. Your faith is being tested. Let me ask you another thing. If you get extra, are you frivolous with it or are you wise with what God gives you? And this is the verse that we come to, Luke 16:11. Because a lot of people will say, listen, Pastor Dave, Jesus didn't talk about money. Sure he did. As a matter of fact, money is one of the greatest number of things that are talked about in the Scripture. Money is a very high priority because God knows what's the root of evil in our lives. It's not finances, it's not money, it's the what? It's the love of all money is the root. And so in Luke 16:11, Jesus is saying, so if you are not trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, how will we be able to trust you with things of the Spirit? How can you be trusted with the things of God if we can't even handle the little things here on earth that he gives us? And part of handling those things is being obedient to his word. And so I tell people when they come here, if you go to another church and you're visiting here, do not give your tithe to Remnant Life. So, Pastor Dave, you're a lousy businessman. Yes, I am. Don't give that to us. You sow into your church. You sow into where you go. But I always tell people, don't rob from God. Don't take from him what belongs to him. Here's the fourth one, then I'm done. God tests us through the struggles. God tests us through the money that he gives us. The fourth one is that he tests us through our delays, through delays in our lives. That's a testing of our faith, is when things are delayed. If every prayer were immediately answered the minute you prayed it, there'd be no need for you to have faith. What would you need it for? But we talked about this last week, that God is not an app on your cell phone. That's not who God is. Apps are what allow you to be able to get things done on your cell phone. That's not who God is. God's not our personal app. Sometimes the answer from God is no. Sometimes it's wait, not yet. I'm better with no than I am with not yet, actually. I'm much better with no. Because for me to have to wait on the things of God means that my timeline is not being met. I'm not getting it the way that I want it. And time is so important to us these days. Let me give you a couple things about time. You're going to be fascinated. You're going to leave here going, boy, I'm glad Pastor Dave told me that. You ready? Here they are. If you take a towel out of the laundry, it takes on an average about 6 seconds to fold that towel. You writing that down? 6 seconds. It takes 10 minutes for a snowflake to form, falling down through the air before it gets down to the earth. 10 minutes. It takes 3 hours and 15 minutes to watch the movie Titanic. That may not be worth your time either. It takes 24 hours. Are you ready for this one? It takes 24 hours, Micah, for plaque to colonize on your teeth. Write that down. Very important this morning. Deep spiritual truths. 24 hours. It takes about a week. Dave, you'll appreciate this. It takes about a week for bacon to start to go stale in a refrigerator set at 32 degrees. Important stuff. I can tell you're stunned right now. You can't even think, hardly. Time is something that God created. We're the ones that track it. We're the ones that put all that importance on it. But the time of the greatest resolve, I think, of our testing comes around those things that really, by and large, of themselves, aren't that important. But God works in those things. God works in those things. So the least little things of life that we have to deal with, can I tell you, church, God is working in those in your life. Pastor Dave, 6 seconds to fold a towel, what in the world's got to do? Because the least little things of our lives, God will work in. That's what a maturing, growing faith looks for. That's what we're asking God to do. God, use anything you want to in my life. Now, go back to Luke 17:5, where the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Which of these areas this morning has God been speaking to your heart about? Because I know he has been. Are you walking through difficult times in your life right now? God is increasing your faith. Are you struggling with finances right now? Is that just, man, you're going, we can barely go check to check right now. God is increasing your faith. Do you trust him to provide? Are there demands on your life right now that you're thinking, you know what, I don't think I can handle this. God is testing your faith. Have you been praying for something for as long as you can remember and it just hasn't happened? God is testing your faith. Church, that's what the walk of a Christian is. The walk of a Christian is about my faith increasing in him. Is it always going to go just the way I want it to? No, it won't. Is he always faithful to what he promises? Yes, he is. And church, I am absolutely convinced that if we are willing to embrace those times of our lives, as Paul said, to give thanks in those times, I believe that change begins to come into our spirit and into our lives that begins to absolutely reconform who we are. So that when those difficult times come, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not getting crazy over this. I'm not treating the people around me badly. I'm saying, God, this is not easy, but through you, I can work through these things, and my faith increases in you to trust you. We're halfway through the month, and we're looking at our checkbook, and we're going, I don't know how this, how are we going to get to the end of the month? God, I trust you. I trust you. Now, that does not mean that we sit back with our arms folded and just wait for God to plop something in front of us. We still need to do the things we need to do. You've heard me say this. Noah had to build the ark. God didn't just put him in front of him. He had to build it. But in that, everything I do, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Church, I believe that's what God's after in our hearts today, to increase our faith. And again, as you walk through that, I just want you to be aware, to be ready for what it is that God's going to do through you at work, at home, with the kids, college, all the things that God's doing through you. Be expectant. Be ready for that. Yeah. Tony. Okay. I want to close in prayer, but we do that. There have been a number of people that have been moving around here. You've been seeing that. Tony is out in the car right now. They're not sure what's going on, but he is dealing with something that's affecting him. Is he okay? Okay, he's better. Okay. Church, that should always be the first response we always have with all of these things. Pray. Do the things that need to be done, but pray first. Always asking God to be present. Well, let's just do that right now. Just bow your heads with me if you would. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. And God, we want to lift Tony to you as a church, as a family, and ask God that you would come and that you would right whatever it is that's wrong, that you would come, God, and the power of the Holy Spirit would flow through his body. I speak against anything to do with the heart. I come against a stroke. I come against heart attack. I come against any paralysis. I come against anything, Father, that's been assigned against him. He is your child. He is covered by the blood. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that even right now that there is strength returning to him, that his vision is clearing. I pray peace over that family. Even as they've walked through this time recently where where we've had to say goodbye to Tammy's mother, and Lord, all of the heartache involved with that, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, give them everything that they need. Father, these are the times when our faith is increased because we trust you. We believe, Father, that the word is true. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that as we go through each and every day, that the things that come against us, Father, we would not rail against the people around us. We would not lose our faith in you, but rather, God, our faith would increase to say, God, this has come through your filter. There's nothing here, God, that's caught you by surprise. Help me to do what needs to be done. I trust you. I believe, God, what you've said. Your will be done. And so, Father, we lift all of this to you this morning. Thank you for each and every person here. Bless them, I pray, as they go. Please watch over them. Keep them safe. And, Lord, every opportunity we have this week, I pray that we will show, we will say, we will do everything that we can to glorify you and to point them to you, because you are the only source. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray these things together. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, folks. Thank you so much.